You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board. And as promised, we are honored, as always, to have on the line Tom Perez, the former chairman of the Democratic Party. Good morning to you, sir. And to what do we owe this great honor?
Well, it's great to be with you and your listeners, Earl. I'm back in Milwaukee today to talk about some major investments from the Biden-Harris administration. This is probably my sixth trip here to Milwaukee in my capacity working with President Biden and Vice President Harris. And today we're going to be with County Executive Crowley and Mayor Johnson. Our first event today, we're going to be at a graduation ceremony of a group of young people who are getting a pre-apprenticeship certificate. What does that mean? That means they're going to punch their ticket to the middle class. We are really excited to be going to the Ezekiel Community Development Corporation, which works to provide opportunities for folks who've, you know, had challenges at times in their lives. And so we're going to be talking about the graduation ceremony. And with some federal funding, this pre-apprenticeship program is connecting them to jobs here in the greater Milwaukee area that are going to really help them have a life of a middle-class life with good jobs and good opportunity. And then we're going to be over at the, I'm going to be with the mayor and the county executive touring the Marsha Coggs Health and Human Services Center over in the city of Milwaukee. This is a one-stop center that's going to be a real anchor in the community to provide health care, to provide workforce services, to provide an array of services. And again, this is another part of our investing in Wisconsin initiative for the president and the vice president. I've been all over the state, and I know you broadcast all over the state. You know, we've been to Wausau and Racine to talk about federal investments to remove lead pipes so that people aren't drinking water that's contaminated. You know, I've been to Appleton to look at affordable housing projects and transportation projects that federal government is funding. And you know, we've been all around the city and county of Milwaukee as well to talk about the investments that we are making to expand opportunity here. So another exciting day here. I full disclosure for all your listeners, I got married here in Milwaukee about 36 years ago. So, you know, Earl, this is home for me in a very real way. And we want to make sure that we're continuing to make progress because we've been able to come a long way. There's no doubt about it, but we still have some challenges here. And that's what we're going to talk about, where we've been, what we're doing with these investments, and the unfinished business.
Well, two things. You know, you are as visible as any politician with a national presence as any that I've ever seen. I always see you in Milwaukee. The second thing is the Marsha Coggs Center is something that's it's the heartbeat of our community, and the building that has been standing there since the beginning of time certainly was going to be requiring tens of millions of dollars to repair. And through the infrastructure bill, there is a brand new, beautiful, brand new facility that is on the rise and going to be opening up on next year that I think none of us could have ever dreamt, those of us who have lived in Milwaukee our entire lives, could have never dreamt would have been happening.
Well, first of all, thank you for your kind words. And it is great to be here in Milwaukee. And the Marsha Coggs Center is going to be an anchor in that community. Yeah, I was here a couple of months ago with the mayor and the county executive, and we were about three blocks from the Marshall Cogs building, and we were there talking about investments in affordable housing. You know, I want to make sure that the American dream of home ownership is accessible to everyone. And I want to make sure that if you're renting housing, that you're renting housing that is affordable and safe and located near critical services. And we have taken federal dollars and worked together with Governor Evers and with the mayor and the county executive and other community and business leaders to make sure that we're building vibrant communities. You're absolutely right about the Marsha Cogs building. It's going to be 60,000 square feet. It's really going to be an anchor for that community. And it's literally walkable from some of the other affordable housing that we have been talking about. And I actually visited a few months back. And I want to make sure that we have access to healthcare everywhere in the great state of Wisconsin. And the Marsha Cogs Center is a place where so many people are going to literally be able to walk and obtain healthcare. And, you know, as a result of the Affordable Care Act, we've seen, you know, pretty tremendous increases in enrollment in healthcare and health insurance programs here in Wisconsin. So, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, I can talk about the dollars. I mean, we've invested over $30 million in federal money to support the Marsha Cogs Center, Earl. And, you know, the money we're excited about, but really behind every investment is people, communities. What we're about is making sure that folks get a fair shake, get a healthy start, get a head start. This pre-apprenticeship program, I'm going to be with one of my favorite members of Congress shortly, Glenn Moore, talking about this apprenticeship program.
So
that's what this is all about,
so,
helping people out.
So I know you have to go, but I want you to be able to speak to the rural listeners of this community about the fact and what the Build Back Better plan and the infrastructure. It's not just done this for the city, but for rural America as well.
Well, I really appreciate your question. And again, I want to underscore, I have been all over the state in this job. I've been to Eau Claire, I've been to Appleton, been to Racine and Wausau. You know, I asked my wife to marry me 37 years ago up in Marinette County. Okay, I think there are more deer than people in Marinette County. It's one of our favorite places on the earth. Been to Crivet many, many times. And your question is a really, really important one. Let me give you a really concrete example. When we were up in, you know, the rural pockets of Wisconsin, you know, one of the most important things that the president and the vice president have invested in is access to quality, high-speed internet for everyone. Internet is like water, Earl. It's an essential public good that must be affordable and accessible to everyone. And I met a woman who runs a rural health clinic in rural Wisconsin, and she told me two compelling stories. One had a great ending and one didn't. You know, if you want to get access to health care and you live in rural Wisconsin, a big way to do it is through telemedicine. It's especially useful for people seeking mental health care, therapy. And she told the story of one person whose life was literally saved because she was able to get access to internet and get the treatment that she needed. And there was another woman who didn't, and that didn't end so well. And that is the story of rural America. When you look at the Invest in Wisconsin and the Invest in America agenda, we have been all over the country. This is not just an urban initiative. This is an every zip code initiative. And again, you look at infrastructure projects. You know, again, we were in you know, Appleton, and there's right where the buses come, there's a transportation center that's going to get revamped. There's housing going in. You know, I met with so many people in the center of the state, in the western part of the state, who talked about who are farmers. And by the way, farmers can take advantage, and I didn't know this, Earl. I learned this from farmers in Wisconsin. They can use high-speed internet to, it's called, I didn't know this until I came here to Wisconsin, precision agriculture. You take advantage of what you can learn through the internet to maximize your yield as a farmer. So when you think about these investments, you know, clean water, not just for people here in the greater Milwaukee area, but making sure lead pipes are replaced everywhere across the state. And that's exactly what we're doing. You know, affordable housing investments everywhere across the state. Internet for all everywhere across the state. So, and then those other road and bridge projects.
So if I hold you any longer, we're going to both be in trouble. thank you very much for the time. And the phone lines are all... these airways are always open for you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I thank you for the service you provide to Wisconsinites across the state.
Well, yeah, one question.
Well, not a question, but I think this is a civics lesson, actually. You know, the Republican side wants to give tax reductions to everyone and says that the results of that will trickle down to you and you'll realize the benefits. Yeah. And what you're talking about is the flip side of that, which is when government can focus its money in the right directions, government can promote affordable housing. Trickle down doesn't provide affordable housing. Government, government can make sure that money is spent in the direction of affordable high speed internet connections. So, I mean, there is a difference between a proactive government that properly invests the public's money, and it results in all kinds of jobs, right? Every one of the projects you've described involves jobs on the private side and outcomes that are the right kind of public policy outcome.
Well, there's a reason why the unemployment rate here in Wisconsin is 3%. It might even be 2.9%. I'm your former labor secretary, so I study these things all the time. This is one of the lowest unemployment rates on record. And let me just put a finer point on something you just said to close this out. You know, there are a lot of people in Wisconsin and across America who have lost faith in government's ability to improve their lives. I understand that. But these investments that we've discussed here, these are about helping people. And that's what we're doing. And that's what we've been able to accomplish. And that's why I'm excited to be here.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day. I hope to see you later on this afternoon.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's Tom Perez, former chair of the Democratic Party. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
Touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to mind and deep hype. It feels good when you know you're down. A super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such. And this is a beat you can't touch. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man, you can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Touch this. Fresh new kicks and bands. You got it like that. Now you know you want to dance. So move out of your
all head. Right. Sandy, come on, man.
you know, you give me this assignment sometimes. I go rogue.
855. Well, you certainly have stretched it. 855-752-4842. Okay.
It's basketball music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Mike, thank you for hanging on, man. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Well, yeah, happy Friday, everybody. Hey, real quick, you know, I was listening to Donald Trump in Detroit, much less many, many other interviews. And, you know, to say that our election process produces shallow results, I think, is being generous. Somehow, guys, when we had, we the people, had passed along our elections to be privatized for profit elections, we the people really began losing our control. And, you know, so when we're listening to people on the stump, and there's no pushback, no, or very little fact checking. And then we see all these low information people that maybe the reason why they're low information to begin with is because they're working 60 or 70 hours a week trying to take care of their families. They just don't have time to do their homework. But, you know, our elections need to be about our people, not about a candidate. It's our property. I've said this a couple times on the air before, and I just hope that it begins to resonate. For us to hand off our elections to for-profit corporations or for the candidates to manipulate and work out the deal, I mean, it's insanity. It's our election. It's not theirs. It's not corporate. It's we the people's most fundamental a right in a well-functioning republic. It's our property. So we need to regulate it. We need to control it. And absolutely, when it comes to fact-checking, you know, when Donald Trump is talking about all these tariffs and, you know, at the same time he's talking about his economy and all this other stuff, his economy was Barack Obama's. What he's bragging about is Barack Obama's economy, not his. It takes a year and a half or 2 years. Everybody knows it takes a while for a candidate's policy to begin to catch. So
hang on, Mike. Sandy, you want to respond?
The year and a half lead time is exactly what I was saying about the inflation that Biden experienced, which had to do with the bottled up demand from the pandemic, the bottleneck in the supply chain, and also the year and a half or 2 year lead time of the inflationary effect of the tax reduction that was enacted during Trump's period. So, you know, absolutely right. There's a delay in the effect of in policy, presidential policies or administration policies. And there's also a limit to the extent to which it can have an effect.
Mike, you want to finish your point?
We must provide accountability. We can't just let people spew whatever they want to spew. Doesn't fit. It'll never work. And quite frankly, it'll hurt us in the long term. We must take back control of our election.
Thank you very much for the call, Mike.
Well, I just wanted to continue a little bit talking after the Tom Perez segment, because I do think that what he had to say is an important civics lesson and a difference between a policy that is promoted, which has not worked, which is the notion that tax reductions will jumpstart the economy and that the broad economy will answer all of the problems of Tom, Dick, and Mary in the middle class, when the Tom, Dick, and Mary problems in the middle class relate to the affordability of housing, the cost of health care, and a number of things that will not be market-driven without having a government, some kind of government oversight, some kind of government incentives, some sort of government programmatics that are intended to promote the private sector's activities. And that's exactly what Tom Perez was talking about, which were government programs designed to promote private conduct, okay? And it's not that this wasn't the result of a capitalistic private marketplace. All of what Tom Perez is talking about is the result of private conduct, however incentivized or otherwise directed by the government and a proactive government. And the government can do those things, and it isn't socialism. It isn't taking over the business place and making it be driven by the government. No, it's simply guiding the business place with tax incentives. And, of course, Donald Trump starts talking about tax incentives or whatever when he's giving discussions. He's talking about itemized tax incentives. But when he talks about the government generally, he talks about broad across the board things, reducing corporate tax to 15% is not going to affect any of these policies beneficially. putting tariffs on everything is not going to solve Tom, Dick, and Mary's problems with their budget. But a government-directed oversight of the economy, promoting certain kinds of activities, affordable housing, et cetera, will. And there's a big difference between the parties with respect to how they want to address that.
All right. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you hang on. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Break it down. Stop. Have a time. Every time you see me, the hair is just so hype. I'm dope on the floor and I'm magic. They just don't hit. I tour around the world, from London to the Bay. It's hammer, go hammer, empty hammer, yo hammer, and the rest can't go in play. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Basketball Jones! Got a Basketball Jones! Got a Basketball Jones, oh baby!
Hey, Cal. Are you sure you didn't help Sandy with this, man?
This is all Sandy.
Cheech and Chong.
Right. Welcome back to Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
Basketball
as always,
Jones.
You can join us at 855-752-4842. Sandy, dare I ask?
Yes, but I went to the Bucks game last night. I got infected by basketball. I looked for tunes and you can't leave Basketball Jones out of a medley of basketball songs. Plus, in fact, I used to have a house in Park City, Utah, and I used to see Cheech all the time on the street.
Really?
So I'm kind of fond of Cheech and Chong.
Okay, let's go to Gene from by the way, if you're just joining us, you know, we've been playing, you know, remarks from Donald Trump's economic club event on yesterday in Detroit, and we've got a lot more of that. But we want to make sure we get you guys an opportunity to share your thoughts. Let's go to Gene from McClure. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you for calling.
Oh, I love this basketball and little Bow Wow. And great choice today in Cheech and Chong. Okay, well, anyway, I just wanted to quit for now. But it's so ironic that he should be in Detroit talking about, you know, doing all these great things for the car industries. My biggest concern, when he first got in, he hired Carl Icahn. Carl Icahn is well known, or maybe forgot about, it was a while ago, Uniroyal. Carl Icahn, the corporate raider, came to Eau Claire. He wanted to buy the Uniroyal tire company. And boy, were people upset, because he was going to buy it, because it was an older factory in Eau Claire. And he was going to shut her down and take the retirement money. And when I saw that guy put him in that office, I was sickened. And it's like, this guy, he brought us Foxconn. What is it, the eighth greatest wonder of the world? Yeah, great job, Trump. I just, this guy, people need to wake up. This guy is the greatest con man that ever lived, and he has no feelings for anybody. He don't care about jobs. And look at, he sells basketball shoes that are gold. He sells gold watches. He sells, you know, a lot of things. I wonder how much he's selling himself to other countries. I mean, this is just so sick, guys. But anyway, thank you for taking my call. Keep up. Great work.
Hey, Gene, you left out he sells bull plop.
Sells what?
Bull plop as well.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I can't say the other thing. Anyway, let's go to Al. Hey, Al, what's going on, Al from Milwaukee?
Finally, you got a theme song. Calvin, I want to hear that every day.
Which one is that?
Can't touch this.
Basketball Jones?
Oh, no, you can't touch
can't
this.
Can't touch this.
Oh, yeah. I got that.
Every day, Calvin. Can't touch this.
Yeah. What was that guy's name, man? What was his
Hammer.
Name? Yeah, MC Hammer.
MC Hammer. Yeah, I got MC Hammer. He's we just played Can't
yeah,
Touch
that's,
This.
That's what he was saying. That's what I was saying. Al seems to kind of be fond of that.
Well, like I said, I went off the reservation and I did some good stuff.
All right, Al, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Well, good morning. I really love this show, this one in particular. And that is because you have taken his speech and you have fact-checked everything. And this is important because when we talk to people on the other side of the view, and I'm not really a political person. I vote for the person, not for the political party. But when someone is constantly lying and telling things that are not true, and these gullible people suck this stuff up, and they believe it as the gospel, it's unbelievable. And they don't take time to really look at it. Maybe years ago we had the Milwaukee Journal and the Milwaukee Sentinel, and we read these newspapers back and forth, and we knew what was going on, and we listened to the news. We listened to the news and everything, so we were really fairly informed. But these people today don't do that. They think that what Trump is saying is the gospel truth, and it's not. It's all a bunch of made-up lies. And then what happens is when you confront them and say no, and you know I'm a fact checker. I do that just as commonplace. And you say, no, that's not true, they go off the rail. They go off the reservation. And they call you the other day, every filthy name in the book. And I was shocked because this was supposedly someone who went to college and actually spent time in the military. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You end up walking away from these people, obviously. But it's time that we fact check every one of these speeches, put it on the air. People, this is the truth. And, you know, you can decide to vote whoever you want to vote for, but I would rather vote for someone who's telling the truth than someone who's going and blatantly lying time and time again.
Hey,
so I appreciate this morning.
Hey, Susan,
I really do.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Good morning. As I fight the resistance to go out and buy a pair of parachute pants, I'm going to get on to my point. But I think one of the things, too, when you think about as we think about what's going on in Florida and down the Southeast, is the overall impact to the insurance agencies and the insurance companies and how it's going to affect our economy. I would tell Kamala, you want to run a commercial, just have Trump saying drill, baby, drill, and then run some tornado footage or pictures of Anna Maria Island in Florida or Asheville, North Carolina. And this is something that's going to be a slow roller effect, but it's coming, and everybody better be ready for it. I mean, there's going to be private insurers completely pulling out of the state of Florida. People are having a harder time getting home insurance and everything else if they can even afford it. So I'm taking phone calls daily now in the industry that I work in. I just spoke to a guy who had a house on Anna Maria Island that he had raised up to 10 feet, and the storm still took his house out. It took his business out, and these people are devastated. So, again, I want to say any donations to the Red Cross, any food, clothing, things like that that you can find a depositing spot for, please do it. These people need your help. And it's time for all of us to be American instead of being red and blue.
Hey, Brendan, well said, man. Thank you very much for the call. Calvin, let's go back.
Well, yeah, let me pursue one thing here, because one of the things that, if we get far enough into this, that Trump will talk about is the notion that we ought to, that we have all this money to be derived from the oil industry. He talks about how we have more liquid gold under our feet than any other country. And then he specifically says we have more liquid gold than Saudi Arabia. That's not true, okay? The fact is that the oil reserves in the United States rank 11th in the world. And the countries that have more oil reserves than the United States, starting with the one with the most, are Venezuela, the most, Saudi Arabia, Canada, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Russia, Libya, Nigeria, and then the United States. So we don't have more liquid gold under our feet. We simply are extracting liquid gold under our feet faster than all these other countries right now. And under Joe Biden, actually, we are withdrawing more oil from the ground than we ever have before. So Donald Trump wants to talk about how he would like to promote more oil production when we're beating all the records we've ever set with respect to the level of oil production. And what the caller just said is absolutely correct. One of the reasons that we're withdrawing the people who own oil reserves in the United States are withdrawing it so rapidly now is they know that oil in the ground 20 years from now isn't going to be worth as much as it is right now, because 20 years from now, the world is waking up to the fact that the intensity of storms and the intensity of climate change is a very, very expensive proposition, a very dangerous proposition, a commercially very troublesome proposition, and the marketplace at large is going to start taking steps if government doesn't take steps with respect to mitigating the effects of climate change.
All right. Let's Calvin, play the next cut, please.
We had to do it fast because you're going to have no industry whatsoever. Whatever you have now, and it's a fraction of what you used to have in the glory days. I call them the glory days. That was when we were the greatest in so many ways. U.S. Steel, look at it. They want to sell U.S. Steel to a foreign country. I'm going to not let that happen. I hope the deal doesn't close before then. I will not let that happen.
Incidentally, that deal already was blocked, number one. Number two, they aren't selling it to a foreign country. They're selling it to a foreign company. Number three, the reason that we were the leader in the world automobile manufacturing was World War II, the Atlantic, and the Pacific. Our industries were all intact after World War II, and the rest of the world's were not. And it wasn't until 1970 when Japan's automobile manufacturing and Germany's automobile manufacturing began to catch up to the United States that we began to feel the effect of world competition in the automobile industry. It was that competition that affected us. We were on top of the world when we had no competition, and we've continued to be a significant contributor of automobiles in the world through our automobile industry, but we have growing economies and growing industries in other places that are competitive with us.
Well, you know, Sandy, he also earlier talked about we're the largest market.
Well, and we aren't the largest market, and we aren't the largest growth market for sure. And the reason why American automobile manufacturers have been hot to export cars is because they want to have growing demand for their cars, and the United States markets are all very mature and are not rapidly growing, okay? And so rapid growth means international sales in every industry, including the automobile industry.
All right, let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I think the topic was about fact-checking. Now, I heard the other day, have you ever heard of a fellow named, he's out of Los Angeles, Tavis Smiley?
Yes.
You have heard of him?
Yes.
Okay. He mentioned a couple weeks ago that J.D. Vance is on his third name. So my question is, what is this guy's real name? So I don't know if that's true or what, but I want to check that out. Okay.
Well, Sandy is the Book of Hoyle. So, Sandy, do you?
Well, his real name is J.D. Vance because he changed it. Okay, so he's legally changed his name. I forget what his original last name was. It wasn't Vance. I think it was Comer. And I don't know whether it had to do with family tension reasons or what the reasons were for the name changes. But he's not effectively on the run because everyone knows where he is.
if you had a chance to pick a name,
mm-hmm.
J.D. Vance.
Well, it sounds kind of good in a book. Yeah. You can picture opening a book and seeing that one of the characters' names was J.D. Vance. Probably that's how he dreamed it up. He did write a book, so.
I would probably think Calvin Butenhoff.
I like that one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know how good a made-up name that is. That's
pretty regular. I thought you did make it up.
All right. All right, 855.
Stage name.
752-4842. We'll be right back. I didn't know this had to do with basketball.
Money, money. But anyway, money, money. I don't know. They always played at basketball games.
Oh, so. All right. Welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of today's show. It's Friday, and my co-host Sandy Williams. And, you know, let me do this quickly. What is the guy's name?
J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance's first name, according to Tom, is James Donald Bowman. His second name is James David Hamill.
So I guess he was just trying to settle on something that he liked.
I don't know how a guy can run.
Well, you know, he remade himself intellectually because he was an anti-Trumper several years ago, and now he's obviously not. So maybe he's trying to figure out just who J.D. Vance is, including what is his name.
Isn't it kind of weird?
Well, that may be.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Three different names. Anyway, Calvin, go ahead. You can play a little bit more.
Do you think they'd mind selling us some steels in the middle of a conflict? But I don't think we'll have a conflict with China. I think we'll get along with China, and I think we'll get along with Russia, and I think we'll get along with Ukraine, and I think we're going to get that one settled. And I think we're not going to have a problem with Israel like October 7th would never have happened. Russia would have never happened. They would have never gone into Ukraine had I been president. But under Kamala, we are now in a manufacturing recession.
Sandy, you think he could back up any of that stuff?
No, of course not. I mean, I think that none of that would have happened if I'd been president either. But no, I mean, that's craziness. And the notion that Hamas and October 7th had anything whatsoever to do with who was the president of the United States is ludicrous. It's ludicrous. And you know, Hamas's activities on October 7th are what precipitated what happened in Israel. And so, you know, that's nonsense. And whether or not Ukraine would have been invaded by Russia probably has everything to do with whether or not there would have been an appeasement policy towards Russia that would have been conducted by Donald Trump. You know, I can have disagreements with what the foreign policy was, but we ought to call a spade a spade. The reason Donald Trump says that there wouldn't have been a problem with Russia
is that
he rolls over. Yeah. For Russia, okay, and you know the notion of the issues with China being something that he can handle, they weren't going very well during his administration, number one. That was when the situation with China began to harden. And number two, our trade deficits have suffered with Donald Trump in spite of his tariff policy. If you look at the trade deficit history, it doesn't favor Donald Trump.
Calvin, play a little bit more.
Well, a lot of people that don't care about the country, they care about how much money they're going to make, including lobbyists.
It sounds like a projection.
A lot of money. You ever see the money the lobbyists make? They make a lot. But they give a lot of it away. I wonder who they give it to. But we're not going to allow this horror to continue. The four-year-long nightmare for the American auto worker ends the day I take the oath of office, January 20th. It ends.
Well, once again, this is the guy outside the tent promising the people whatever they want to hear so they can come inside the tent and spend a bunch of money to get to see something that doesn't exist, you know, the lizard woman or whatever, you know, and it won't be there other than they'll pay the price of admission and find out how they were skunked when they get inside the tent.
That's a great analogy, by the way. Calvin, next go around.
The American auto industry and bring millions and millions of jobs back to our shores and very quickly.
He's going to bring millions of jobs back.
Well, he said that before, and the number of manufacturing jobs declined during his 4 years. So we should just look at the 4 years, the promises he's made, and understand that they weren't kept, and it's not going to happen, okay? And this is, once again, the promise to come inside the tent. I should think people would after the first 4 years, be frightened to go in the tent, okay? I know I always was. I never went in.
Hey, go ahead, Calvin.
Things, you have borders and you have good elections. You got to have, and it would be nice to have a free press, which we don't have at all. We have a terrible press. But those three things we have, and we have to straighten it out. So here is the deal that I will be offering to the world, to
here's
companies outside of our
tell
world.
You what I'm going to do.
These powerful companies that have become powerful because we were stupid. We were stupid. We allowed them to come in and raid and rape our country. That's what they did. Oh, he used the word rape. That's
he did.
Right.
He did more than use the word rape.
Our country.
We should all remember that as well.
States
how
will
ironic.
Give the lowest taxes, the lowest energy costs. We have more liquid gold under our feet
here
than any other country in the world, and it's the best. It's the best. We have the most, and we have
enough
the highest
already,
quality.
Calvin, enough already.
I mean, really, all of this is snake oil, and it's not. It's either not with. It's without foundation and without the capacity to deliver on the promise. Number one, or number two, not true. And so, I should think that the people of America would not want to put someone in office who behaves in this manner. Okay, that's. I think a speech like this, if they looked at it analytically, would cause them to make a decision that would cause them not to want to vote for a person who behaves like that.
All right. Sandy, thank you as always. Always great to have you on board. Thank you, Calvin, for a great week. Thank all of you, the listening audience. Up next, Matt and Air on Air, Greg Bach and Jane Matt and Air. Enjoy 80 degrees. See you guys on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.